Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
So before we get into the nuts and bolts of the game, I want to dispel a few things. How about that? So let's do that. In other words, like give some answers that I think people make assumptions on, and the assumptions aren't correct, okay? But that's okay. That's why you have the show. The show allows you to do that. All right, so let's start with this. Let's see. And you tell me if these are things that you haven't either heard or whatever, Matt. So we'll start with this one. The backup quarterback doesn't get enough reps in practice. Have you heard that one?
I haven't heard that, but I've heard a lot of he was not prepared and he's not good, and James Franklin should have done something with the transfer portal and brought somebody more experienced in.
Right. Okay. All right. So, and I'll get to that in a second. Okay. Number one, he gets every head coach and influenced by the offensive coordinator each have their own way of how many reps they want to give quarterbacks. Some just want to give reps to two quarterbacks. Sometimes they'll give it to three. All right? And I think I'm trying to remember. Joe Moorhead would give a few reps to a three. I think Ricky Ronnie gave a few reps to a three. But Kirk Ciarrocca didn't want to do that. And for the most part, Mike likes to give reps to ones and twos once in a great while, maybe a three. Okay, I'm talking about once the season starts. I don't mean the preseason. Okay. All right, so now you get to this scenario. So he gets 40 to 50% of the reps in practice. Okay. He wasn't used to the noise. No, I can assure you that I took my headsets off just at one point, just to get a gauge for the noise. The noise in practice was louder than the noise in the stadium. And the last time they practiced with noise, oh, it was Friday. Okay. So that wasn't, they were prepared for that. I don't really know how I can. And by the way, just so you know, Matt, we have a system here. It's called AnyDesk, and that allows me to see callers. So if callers want to call in, I can't see it because it says that you've been using AnyDesk now for more than 25 hours. Please note you need a license for business and blah, 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 blah. So you're going to have to help me out on that because I won't be able to see any callers.
Okay. We'll try to work on that.
Somebody did something. Somebody paid a bill somewhere. There we go. Okay. So now I have it.
There we go. All right.
So that way, if somebody calls, I'll be able to see it. Before, it'd be like, I'll see it. He blew off callers. If I can't see him, I don't know if you're there. All right. He never works with the first team offensive line. Right? Not true. There are moments during the course of a practice week, every practice week, where they mix and match offensive lines, where Sean works with the quote so-called backup group and Taquan works with the so-called first group, and they'll mix and match. He never works with the first team wideouts. Nope, he works with the first team wideouts all the time. And sometimes they'll be out there, maybe it's the second group offensive line, but the first team wideouts, they'll mix and match that too. That way everybody, you're trying to cover as many scenarios as possible. Trying to cover as many scenarios as possible, if you can. And so when it comes to stuff like that, he wasn't prepared for the noise. No, there was noise all week. And more noise than actually was there on Saturday. And Saturday was loud. Practice was louder. Right? So that was prepared for. Working with the first-team offensive line, every week he gets opportunities with the first-team offensive line. Wasn't used to working with first-team wideouts. No, but every week he gets the opportunity to work with the first-team wideouts. Just like Sean gets to work at times, not often, but at times during a week with the second team offensive line and the second group wideouts, because you just don't know what scenarios you're going to run into. All this stuff, they go through all these scenarios and prepare. Here's the other one. There should be plays in there that are specific for him. They do have plays in there specific for him. Okay? This, all right? And on the drive for the field goal, you saw a couple of those. All right? Okay. Now, look, he was 7 of 21. Could a couple of receivers, maybe one in particular, helped him out with a couple of catches that maybe would have helped him out confidence-wise? No question. Okay? No question. The false starts ended up, there were 8 of them, were crushers. And I can't, and I cannot speak to silent count versus clap count. That I can't talk to. You'd have to ask a coach about that. I have no answer for that. I mean, there was one. I mean, it does so much in terms of changing the field position of the game. It was unreal. I'll give you one example of one that it wasn't the offensive line. Boom, they're at the 25-yard line. I think Iowa just scored to make it 20-16. They kicked a field goal. Penn State gets the ball in a touchback at their own 25. Okay. All right, let's see what they can do. First play, run up the middle, Noah Cain over the 30, 32, 33. He picks up 7 or 8, so it's going to either be a 2nd and 2, 2nd and 3, right around that neighborhood. Like, okay, it's a good start. False start. Well, where's the false start? You want to know where it was? He had 2 receivers lined up to the near side, and I'm not going to get into names. And one of them turned to the other one and said he was too far out, and he moved him over. He moved him over. Well, in the process of moving him over, the ball was snapped. If he had just stayed where he was, because they're 30 yards away, it had nothing to do with the play. Nothing to do with the play. Right? And that was the false start. Like, and it's the right call, by the way. It's the right call. It's like, okay. It's like little stuff like that where suddenly instead of a 2nd and 2 or 3, so let's just say 2nd and 3 for the sake of it, you got 1st and 15. And, of course, the crowd goes crazier because it's a false start. You're like, eh. Penn State's average drive start in the second quarter was their own 13-yard line. Penn State's average drive start in the fourth quarter was their own 13-yard line. Taylor did a great job of punting. Now, what should not be understated is the great job Stout did. Stout kept at least getting the thing out of there, and Iowa kept starting on their side of the field. I mean, Stout did a phenomenal job in that game. Taylor gets justifiably so much credit for knocking the ball down inside the 10 repeatedly. But Stout did a great job of doing the best he could to somehow get, okay. The problem was Penn State couldn't get any first downs outside of the one drive. Where all of a sudden, boom, you drive it. Even with a couple of first downs, you're out at the 45, 46-yard line. Now, Stout can pin them down and maybe change the field position. Because the Iowa offense, for the most part, most of the day have been controlled. If I'm Jeff Brohm, the coach of Purdue, I don't want to look at any tape except for one. I want to look at the first 18 minutes of the Penn State-Iowa game and ask myself, why did Penn State score 17 points in 18 minutes? What did they do? Because Penn State had Iowa confused. And I mean, you could see Iowa was confused by what was going on. When Roberson came in, and this is, again, I'm just using that as a reference point. The dynamics for Iowa changed, and it allowed them with 2.5 quarters to go for Kirk Ferentz to play the way he really had hoped to play. Can we get into a field position game? Can we shorten our field? Because with a long field, Iowa was not going to win the game. They're not good with a long field offensively. Just not. They just don't have the chops to play long field football. No way. And in the first 18 minutes of the game, guess what Iowa was doing? Playing long field football. Okay? They have to have short field. A little bit of, you know, keep that margin, right? And you just felt as the game was going, and I made the comment a couple times to Jack in the third and fourth quarter. Said you could feel with each possession the margin of error was getting thinner and thinner and thinner.